This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. A great day when we get ready to observe the anniversary, first anniversary of a very dark day in American history. I think most people agree on that. Even those people, and there are a lot of them, according to pollsters, who believe that the people who raided the Capitol building, who committed acts of vandalism, were threatening our senators and representatives and the vice president, that those people were freedom fighters. Well, it didn't work out so well, did it? It is not exactly domestic terrorism, not in my opinion, but certainly regrettable. I know that Gerald Seib agrees with that. He is the executive Washington editor of the Wall Street Journal, and he had a very important column that appeared yesterday under the heading January 6th Ripples Pose a Risk for the System. And this goes along with polling data today that says a majority of Americans, this is of not just Republicans, of the Democrats, independents, everybody, a majority of Americans think that we are likely to have something like January 6th happen again. And you indicate, yeah, maybe. What if the Democrats lose the next presidential election, but then they have the idea that it's rigged, it's phony, and we have to overturn the result? Jerry, do you think it is a real threat that this becomes a regular feature of our elections?
I do think it's a real threat. I don't think it's a certainty, but I think it's a danger. You know, one of the things that happens in politics is people imitate what succeeds on the other side, and this didn't quite succeed for Donald Trump, but, you know, we're still talking about it. And I think that there is also a tendency to say, well, you know, payback is fair game, and I think those are very dangerous ideas right now in this context. And very real at the same time. And I think one of the things that Republicans probably haven't paid enough attention to is the possibility that by going along with the idea that the 2020 presidential campaign was somehow rigged, presidential election was somehow rigged, that they're undermining the legitimacy of the very system that put them all in power in the first place. And that's probably going to give them back control of the House and maybe the Senate in 2022. And if they are doing that in a system that they have undermined, well, that's going to be a kind of an unsatisfying victory on their part.
Don't you, I believe you hold by the general point of view that by claiming that the presidential election had been rigged, that it was unfair, that the vote was not right, that it was crooked, that President Trump had helped to suppress Republican voter turnout in Georgia, giving Democrats those two seats and control of the Senate. Do you think that's an accurate analysis?
I think it's likely to be the case. I don't think you can prove it. You can't prove a negative. Somebody didn't vote for this reason necessarily. But I think it's likely that the declaration that your vote won't matter is pretty much an invitation to people to just don't bother. And I think that was one of the many ways in which I think the post-election, 2020 election dialogue debate undermined Republican chances of holding on to the Senate. I don't think most people thought the day after the November 2020 election that the chances were very good that Democrats could win two runoff elections for the Senate on the same day in Georgia, but that's what happened. And I think the environment that was created in the post-election conversation made it possible for Democrats to do that to the detriment of Republicans, obviously. And I think, interestingly, maybe even to the detriment of Democrats, oddly, because I think Democrats might have actually been better off if they hadn't won both those elections and didn't have a majority in the Senate, and I think they would have probably scaled back their ambitions to more realistic levels, and that might have actually been better for them. But nonetheless, that's what happened.
Certainly better for the country. Everybody trying to piece together this news that President Trump canceled his press conference that he was planning to do today. I was trying to figure out what it was that he could possibly say on January 6th. He's now going to be speaking on January 15th at a rally in Arizona. What should he say if he actually does want to run and win in 2024?
That's a tall order. I don't know that I'm in the business of telling him what he should say.
Well, I mean, about the election of 2020 and about January 6th in particular.
I think the message that most Republicans wish he would deliver is, it's time to move on. We're now going to move on. We're not going to relitigate the 2020 election ad nauseum all the way through 2024. That's not the basis for me running again, if in fact that's what he chooses to do. And I think that would probably be a better message for him and for Republicans in general, because one of the realities of American politics, and you know this as well as I do, elections really are mostly about the future, not about the past. And voters spend less time wallowing in the kind of backward-looking stuff that political junkies like us like, and more time thinking about, well, what happens next? What happens if I vote this way as opposed to that way going forward? And I think that's what most Republicans would like, whether they do or don't want Donald Trump to run again. I think that's what they would like him to talk about. I mean, that's, you know, that's the message you hear from a lot of Republicans who in Washington who have jobs to do and who want to stop looking backwards. They want to talk about where's the party going to go from here, and that involves working up a kind of a more positive message about 2022 and then 2024 after that.
Again, that seems to me it would not only be good for President Trump and for the Republican Party, it'd be good for the country if we did that. I was also thinking about this, and I wanted to run it by you, is that if President Trump were going ahead with a news conference, or if he does insist on mentioning January 6th and the 2020 election at this rally he has in Arizona coming up, what if he expressed some support, as Ted Cruz did today at the committee hearings on Capitol Hill? If President Trump expressed some support for the police officers who actually protected his vice president and protected the Capitol building, and maybe even offered to pay some money, or much more likely to raise some money to benefit officers and their families, particularly those officers who were seriously injured.
Well, I do think the tributes to those the police officers is those are overdue at this point, but that would be a beneficial thing, and certainly in keeping with what most people, even those who supported the the people who moved on the Capitol on January 6th didn't want to see police officers as part of the collateral damage, if you will, and I think that was lacking in President Trump's response to what happened on January 6th, among other things, and that would certainly be a reasonable thing to do, and probably would be well received all around. You know, I'm old enough to remember when the Republican Party was the party of law and order and pro-police, and that is a little bit of a jarring juxtaposition with the way the president ignored what happened to the Capitol Police Force, and let's not forget the D.C. Metropolitan Police Force on January 6th.
Yeah, I mean, again, you mentioned in your column in the Wall Street Journal that the FBI has posted 17 hours of collected footage. Now, I've watched a bunch of footage, not a full 17 hours, but it's pretty shocking. It's one of those things that I think people will remember even years from now, as they will your insightful commentary. We're going to link to your most recent column about the January 6th ripples that pose risk for the system. One of those ripples, the belief that this is going to become a new norm in American presidential politics. Really? We'll get to that and to more on the Medved Show.
1-800-955-1776. The Michael Medved Show. That's 1-800-955-1776.
Washington Policy Center, WPC, is Washington State's champion for free market reforms and is nationally renowned for its effectiveness in an ideologically hostile state. It's led the effort against state and local income taxes. Its research and policy analysis are relied on by lawmakers, media, and citizen activists for accuracy, fresh perspective, and to expose the political manipulation of data. Our state needs WPC more than ever, and we need you to be part of it. Become a member today at WashingtonPolicy.org. Is our country's distinctive power and prosperity the product of some happy accidents or criminal activity, or is it God's hand on America? That's the title, actually, of my most recent book. You can get a hardcover copy, personally signed by me, together with a full audiobook, and it comes to you together with an MP3 player so you can hear it anytime you want. It's all at a reduced price while supplies last. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for God's Hand on America, look for that audiobook and hardcover book bundle.
Introducing the all-new My Slippers from MyPillow. 2 years in development. Designed to wear indoor, outdoor, all day long. Made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue. And made with quality leather suede. For a limited time, you can get 50% off the new My Slippers. They're super comfortable, and you'll like them so much you'll want to get pairs of them for the entire family. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square and use promo code MEDVED. That's promo code MEDVED, M-E-D-V-E-D. You'll also get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, like the Giza Dream bed sheets, the mattress topper, and towel sets. Call right now 1-800-320-6280. That's 1-800-320-6280 and use promo code MEDVED. Or go to the web at MyPillow.com. The all-new My Slippers from MyPillow.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Go to GCNteam.com or call 855-GCN-MALL. That's 855-426-6255. GCNteam.com or 855-426-6255. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
Honorary Forest Ranger Betty White here, lending a hand to my dear friend Smokey Bear. Because for 75 years, he's only said,
only you can prevent wildfires.
But there's a lot more to say. Like, if you park your car on tall, dry grass, the hot exhaust pipe can start a wildfire. So be careful out there. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Michael Medved Show, you know I've admitted many times I do like to cherry pick some good news when the good news is available. And I just had some personal good news in terms of a telephone call that I engaged in this morning. And I wanted to mention it to you because it's really very deeply meaningful. I get contacted all the time by people who listen to the show, or they are med heads, they go to the history store, or they read my books. And I was contacted by a student who was a big fan of the American Miracle, and asked if for a school project she could interview me with some questions about the Constitutional Convention. One of the things in American Miracle, my book about the basically the idea that America is no accident, that there is such a thing as providence. One of the chapters, and my favorite chapters, about the Constitutional Convention. How is it that these 55 guys, and yeah, they were all men, who drafted this Constitution, which has lasted so miraculously and so wonderfully for all these years, how was this able to come about? And there were a number of incidents in the Constitutional Convention that the people at the time thought showed divine providence. In any event, so I get this call, and I'm talking to this young lady, and it turns out she is involved in a competition with a paper that she's writing for an American History Prize. And so I thought, this is interesting. She asked really intelligent questions. She obviously knew a great deal about the founding. Okay, here's the punchline. She was 13. And didn't sound that way. I mean, I remember what being 13 was. I was precocious, but I was pretty weird at 13. Man, I'm pretty weird now. But this young lady, her name was Nina, was just, it was like being in a classroom in graduate school, actually, not even college. Her depth of knowledge, she knew more about the constitutional history and about the great compromise in which they decided that, we were not going to do every state has just one vote and you need a unanimous vote of all states, which is what we had in our government under the Articles of Confederation. And no, we're not going to make it all according to population, which was what James Madison initially wanted, being a Virginian. Virginia was the largest state. There's going to be a split, Senate, House. Now, the fact that she understood it and defended it, and this was wonderful to me, that a 13-year-old in California has that level of sophistication, seriousness, patriotism. It's one of the things that makes me grateful that I'm able to do what I do and connecting with somebody. And again, never met this 13-year-old young lady. But come on, when people despair about the younger generation and sacrificing everything to political correctness and to wokeness, Not everybody. And that's one of those encouraging aspects of my work. And I wanted to bring that up because, hey, you still have a chance. We're going to be holding the price point, which is 22 cents a day, to give you free access to The Miracle of the Constitution is one of our best-selling MedVed history programs. You get it free. You get everything free if you join us as a MedHead Plus member. And yes, we are going to be maintaining that cost of 22 cents a day, which is very encouraging to me, and I hope to you. Check it out. Go to MedVedHistoryStore.com or go to MichaelMedVed.com to become a MedHead Plus member. It's $79 for an entire year. And you can listen to a different history show every day. They're all fascinating, if I say so myself. Okay, I'll tell you what else is fascinating, is there's a piece by Bill Galston today in the Wall Street Journal who looks at some of the polling regarding January 6th. And he points out that some 68% of the American people have come to believe that the events of January 6th represent an increasing danger of political violence, compared with 32% who regard it as an isolated incident. In other words, by 2-1, people think we're going to have more like January 6th. And they're 32% who regard it as an isolated incident, and 62% expect violence by the losing side in a future presidential election. Could be either side. A survey released on January 4th of this year found 83% of Americans are worried about the future of America's democracy, and 71% say it's weaker than it was 4 years ago. Overall, two-thirds of Americans regard U.S. democracy as threatened, compared with only one-third who describe it as secure. So what are the threats to democracy exactly? I mean, one of them is the inability. One of the things that the democratic rule requires is rule of law. I have been thinking, because I just wrote a piece for Newsweek about that, about being in junior high school, and my great junior high school teacher, whose name was Mr. D, his real name was Dionysopoulos, but that was much more difficult to pronounce. Everybody knew him as Mr. D. And part of what he talked about was the adventure of history, and of course we were also, and we heard it, and you heard it in school too, we have to be a government of laws, not of men, where it's not based on personality, it's based on the rule of law. And the rule of law says you have rules that govern an election, and then when an election is over, you accept the verdict, and if you want a different verdict, you work to change it for the next election. The next election is always coming up. The Wall Street Journal has an editorial today where they talk about one of the things Republicans should seize upon for the next election is fixing the Electoral Count Act. And what the Electoral Count Act does is it tries to set up a situation where if you have disputes about how the electoral votes are supposed to be counted or registered or which electors you're supposed to accept in any given state, then it provides a mechanism to challenge those electors, which is what the January 6th situation was all about. So why do you need to change that law? Well, it has to do with securing democracy. And I think it's an important cause. We will get to that and more coming up on the MedVed Show.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire fireplace grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Fire officials in Philadelphia say they're dealing with one of the worst fires in the city's history. The fire department saying 13 people, including 7 children, died when a blaze ripped through a row home that was converted into apartments. Philadelphia First Deputy Fire Commissioner Craig Murphy explaining what's being done to make sure this never happens again.
We are working with the fire marshal's office. We plan on and intend on getting a cause for this fire.
Private payrolls are seeing a big jump. ADP saying they grew by 807,000 in December. The number released more than double what Wall Street was estimating. The figure also released ahead of the jobs report, which is due out Friday. USA Radio News.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
If you feel America is facing more dangers than ever, you're right. An increasing number of things are falling apart daily. That's why you need to prepare for more of the unexpected, and that includes food shortages. When people panic, grocery stores run out of food fast. Would you survive without food for days, weeks, even months? The smart folks are buying emergency food now. Take this moment to shop MyPatriotSupply.com. We're America's leader in preparedness. My Patriot Supply has earned over 47,000 four-star and five-star reviews. Our delicious food kits average 2,000 calories per day and last up to 25 years in storage, so it's there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a food kit or two, and we'll ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait for the news to tell you something bad happened again. Rather, be more self-reliant and prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
And on the Michael Medved Show, just got a terrific email that I think will speak to a lot of people about the upcoming observance of the one-year anniversary of January 6th. And basically the idea that there are very, very few people who are saying that there was anything positive about the raid, the riot in the Capitol building, or the assaulting of police officers there. And Joel in Seattle writes, "Hello, Michael. I am a recently retired police commander in Seattle. Sorry to lose you. We need all the great cops we can get, particularly in this city right now with new mayor, etc. But in any event, he says, listening to your radio show today regarding the events at the Capitol on January 6th, I have a couple of thoughts from a police perspective. What is bothersome to me is the outrage and the demand for justice for those involved in January 6th, even those that were merely there and did not commit any criminal acts, while the country remained silent during the entire time of violent riots across the country during the summer of 2020. And I just have to disagree with you on that proposition that everyone remained silent. I certainly didn't, and there were tens of millions of others who didn't. Name it. He says, I worked out of government buildings that criminals repeatedly attempted to burn down while occupied. They were successful in Minnesota. I had 60 police officers assaulted in one night of rioting in Seattle. I had officers whose police cars and personal belongings were burned to the ground while they ran to escape to a police facility. I had officers in ambulances to hospitals for medical emergencies as a result of the rioters' actions. Why are we as a country not outraged and demanding justice for the countless injuries, deaths, and property damage incurred across the entire country for months? I empathize with the Capitol Police that day
as they, like many other police departments, were scapegoated by their own organizations. Important to remember that while that was one horrible day, police officers across the country endured insurrectionist acts as rioters by rioters every day for months during the previous summer. I know I can provide countless examples, and I'm betting those in Portland and Minneapolis could do the same. Well, Portland in particular, this is one of the things that we talked about on the air a lot, is they just took it for granted that they'd have riots every night. It was every single night. And trashing businesses and making it impossible to function and assaulting public order was totally unforgivable that it was so much overlooked by basically people on the far left who had been elected to public office. It's, by the way, one of the reasons we no longer have Mayor Jenny Durkin, if I may say so. Enjoy that summer of love. He says, my point is that if we are going to have a reckoning of accountability, should we not include the criminal acts of those who caused the damage across the country to sitting government institutions as well as businesses? And why is there no national outrage around those events? Thank you for your show. I appreciate the dialogue. Well, I appreciate the note, Joel. And your point is, of course, superb. And you're right. And there does need to be a pullback from the stupidity of the summer of 2020 when people were basically saying things. Remember, we tried to get the author on the air, in fact, as a professor who had written a book in defense of looting. And I thought about and talked about literally those thousands of businesses across the country that were ruined with people's lives really very badly damaged, where you're trying to run a small shop or a convenience store somewhere and people come in and they break your windows and they steal your stuff. In Santa Monica, California, where I once lived a long time ago, 25 years ago, the entire city, the downtown, the promenade where people had some very nice stores, they were all attacked. And it was covered on TV. But people didn't speak out about it as strongly, I believe, because of the racial component. Because how do you speak out against this this epic of riots everywhere without talking about what they used to justify the riots? Now, of course, they had no connection. There's no way that ruining somebody's business or destroying a downtown or knocking down a statue, that any of this advances the cause of equality, prosperity, or public order. Destroying public order, creating disorder, never helps. And it's not a way to help your cause. And actually, the only area where I disagree with Joel is the idea that there was total silence on this issue. What there was a broader focus. In other words, that rioting went on, and it was probably more serious for the country at large. It went on for months and months. This was very concentrated, and it was concentrated right at the center of our political process, right at the center of government. And it involved a total disregard for the rule of law in a very concentrated and public way. Now, was it as serious? Were there as many people injured? Were there as many buildings destroyed? Well, the Capitol building was not, thank God, really destroyed. So a lot of cleanup that had to be done afterward. But I do think that one of the things that is unique to the Capitol riot and why people take it so seriously is precisely because of what we began this segment talking about, which is that many people are worried that this is going to happen again. In other words, if it becomes a normal thing that we are going to just accept as inevitable, that people who lose an election basically declare the election illegitimate. And see, this is happening on both sides right now, because for the Stacey Abrams of this world, and even Chuck Schumer, who was pushing and pushing and pushing to have a total federal redesign of all our statewide election systems, what he is saying is that basically the Republicans are trying to steal elections by blocking people of color and progressive voices from counting and casting their votes. Again, that's not true. It's just made up. It can be documented, just as it can be documented that there isn't massive vote fraud going on by Democrats, so it can be documented that you, very easily, that you don't have people being blocked from participating in elections. Why do you think you had the highest turnout election between Donald Trump and Joe Biden that we had had since 1908, we had had in more than 100 years? It's true. And by the way, the highest turnout for black people as well. So how does it work that you believe that there are all these Republican efforts to suppress elections? Evidence matters. And basically, faith in our system matters. And we're going to be speaking a little bit later on this show with a reporter for The Guardian over in Britain who believes we're already in the middle of the next civil war, and that basically this is part of a plan by conservatives to use violence to take over the country. I think this is wrong. I think it is misleading. And I think it is destructive to propagate those ideas when you want a democracy to work. Because on either side, if you are accusing the other side not just of being wrong about issues, but about cheating and basically trying to suppress democracy, then that doesn't mobilize people on your side. It just discourages them and says, I'm disgusted with the whole darn thing. We deserve better than that in the United States. We'll bring you the latest in that regard coming up on The Medved Show.
America loves him.
Americans love a winner.
Michael Medved.
Was very bad, and since I've taken Relief Factor, I've been able to walk normally again, and I was having a hard time walking, and the pain was very bad, and since I've taken Relief Factor, I've been able to walk normally again, and the pain has gone away. I really am walking pain-free, so I just want to recommend this to anyone who has severe pain or any type of pain. It is really a miracle product.
Try Relief Factor. It has worked wonderfully for literally hundreds of thousands, and certainly for me. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, and order your own quick start. Nothing to lose but your pain. The whole world to gain. MichaelMedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, or call 833-654-PAIN. Relief Factor. Don't you get tired of commercials screaming at you to buy gold right now with inflated promises on future values? In an unregulated industry, you need honest, real experts to give you solid advice to protect your wealth and give you top picks, too, on the best coins and bullion based on real-time data and historical trends. For example, as environmental policy becomes a hot topic, one precious metal that's been significantly undervalued for years is potentially set to surge. Nick Rovich, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion, has long recommended this precious metal. Up to 600,000 ounces of this rare metal will be needed by 2030 to produce green hydrogen. Nick is doubling down on this pick, and you should, too. Call Nick to find out more. Now, I've been friends with Nick for several years, and he's my go-to guy when it comes to coins and bullion. I trust him. You can, too. Call Nick at 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com. 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Michael Medved Show, politics is personal, and it involves sometimes the way that you respond to an individual as a political candidate or to the other individual who you really dislike and you're going to vote against. In fact, it's been more common in our politics recently is people voting against someone rather than voting for someone or for some ideas. But the personal fissures in this country, the breaks in families. We're talking to Pam, who called in from Tri-Cities, and that's a tragic aspect of this anniversary that we're going to be observing tomorrow, and of our whole moment in American politics. ABC News did a powerful story on a family that's torn apart by the Capitol riot. And a son in the family had alerted the FBI that his dad took part in the riot. And his father was then arrested. Listen, 14A.
In a suburb just outside Dallas, Texas, peace has been in short supply for Shorts Guy Reffitt's family, broken and shaken to its core after he attended former President Trump's rally and protest at the Capitol. The 49-year-old is now in jail awaiting trial among the more than 700 indicted.
Did January 6th tear your family apart?
It has temporarily fractured us.
That fracture, largely caused by the revelation Reffitt's 19-year-old son Jackson went to the FBI with concerns about his father in the days leading up to the insurrection.
He's getting involved in a lot of different people, and a lot of bad people, and a lot of bad communities.
Jackson's mom acknowledges her husband is a member of the Three Percenters. According to the Anti-Defamation League, they are anti-government extremists who are part of the militia movement.
When did you feel then, like, I have to reach out to the FBI? Was there a point that you felt that way?
It was kind of just like, okay, I'm just doing this. Like, I just have to do this. Like, if something is to really happen, then I do not want this on my shoulders as the only one that actually sees what he's doing right now.
Okay, and again, when he talks about who you're doing this for. It's not just the country. It's the Father. I mean, it is entirely possible. And in fact, it's a fact that there are rioters who also were hurt and were injured. And now, of course, have had their lives blown apart by being arrested, as they should be, and tried. The trials haven't begun yet, but a lot of people have already pleaded guilty, made plea bargains. This is the son, in this case, from Dallas, talking about his emotional response. Listen.
Weeks later, Jackson says his worst fears were confirmed.
I went home to check up on everyone, and everyone's sitting around the TV, and my mom looks at me and is like, your dad's there. And hearing my father that was there, that was absolutely disgusting. And it really lost all respect for him in that moment.
According to court documents, when Refit returned from Washington, he started making threatening statements to his children.
My father brought up that, like, if anyone turns me in, like, you know, happens to traitors, traitors get shot. And that spooked me and my sister.
Were you ever afraid that your dad was going to harm you or Jackson?
No, I was never afraid of that. It's bizarre to me to hear that because, I mean, he has said so many ridiculous things.
I mean, I have 21 years of telling guy you can't say stuff like that.
Yep. And we will see. Let's hope it works in court. Now, part of what's been striking about a lot of the people who have pleaded guilty, and some have agreed to long prison terms, 4 or 5 years. And yet many of those people get up and they admit they've done wrong. Others say that they were there for patriotic reasons in Washington, D.C. on January 6th. The CNN and Jessica Schneider did a report on those different reactions. This is 8A.
Some of the people who rioted that day remained defiant. They remained saying that they didn't do anything wrong. And they have no regrets. Jessica Schneider is out front.
If he asked me if I'd do it again, I want to say yes, but then I'd question the back of my head, would I?
Former Proud Boy Josh Pruitt describes his past year as an emotional train wreck.
I don't feel like I did anything wrong, but knowing the consequences that came out of it would be the part that would make me question it.
Prosecutors have laid out an array of video as evidence against him. Pruitt can be seen confronting Capitol police officers after walking in through the shattered front doors. And inside the Capitol crypt, Pruitt is caught smashing a sign. All of it leading to 8 federal charges against him, including counts for destruction of government property and acts of physical violence. But Pruitt defends his actions that day, clinging to the big lie that former President Donald Trump continues to spread and saying he has no plans to plead guilty.
I was just a patriot out there, you know, protesting against what I think is a stolen election. Trying to send me to prison for a few years over this, I think, is a complete joke.
Are you concerned that you could be, in fact, sent to prison?
I am concerned.
Okay, then why the hesitation about expressing regrets? It didn't work out so well for you, or for the country. And that's the one thing that I would ask somebody like that. What did you think would happen? You come into the Capitol building, you're smashing signs, you're shouting, fight for Trump, fight for Trump. What was it you thought was going to happen, other than you getting arrested ultimately? And then what? There's a lady, we've talked about her before, she flew to the riot on a private jet. She has a similar kind of lack of remorse. Listen.
The first week in January, I have to report to prison.
Jenna Ryan flew a private jet to Washington and notably boasted that storming the Capitol was one of the best days of her life. Her lack of remorse, in part, prompted a judge to impose a 60-day sentence after she pleaded guilty to a misdemeanor. The judge saying he wanted to make an example of her after she shamelessly tweeted that she wouldn't get jail time since she has blonde hair, white skin, and did nothing wrong.
All those 600 people that have been arrested are now wondering what's going to happen to them, and prison can happen.
Okay, and by the way, if we are serious about wanting to avoid, oh, say the Democrats doing this next time, or any other Republican doing this kind of civil disobedience and destruction based upon an election outcome, then of course people have to go to prison. There has to be a cost for breaking the law. This was a brief statement from Ted Cruz this morning in the committee hearings on Capitol Hill to the Capitol Police. Listen.
What could have been done differently? What could have prevented the breach of the Capitol? What could have prevented the riot getting as far as it did? And so let me just start with that question. With the benefit of hindsight, what could have been done to better secure the Capitol, to stop the riot outside and prevent them from penetrating as far as they did?
So I think that clearly documented intelligence failures, there were leadership failures within the Capitol Police Department. If the intelligence had been acted on the way it should have been, and we would have had enough people here, I think it would have been a different story. And that one of the things that we have, one of the changes that we put into place is that with a few phone calls, I can get double or triple the number of police officers we have, trained, equipped police officers here to assist us in our responsibilities to protect the Capitol and protect the members of Congress. So, you know, and we will be tested again, Senator. I mean, and I don't know who it's going to be or when it's going to be, but we will likely be tested again.
That's Tom Menger, who is the new chief of the Capitol Police. He took over after the leadership that was there on January 6th was basically dropped. Because there were profound leadership failures, and it is only because of the real heroism of the people on the line, the people in the line of fire, in fact, that things didn't work out vastly worse than they did. Altogether, this should be an opportunity for improvement and growth and even better years for this greatest nation on God's green earth.
Have you heard about vine-to-bar chocolate? It's the winemaker's chocolate, the world's first chocolate made with well-vined Chardonnay marc from the beautiful coastal vineyards of North America. Gently pressed grapes are harvested after juicing, dried and finely milled, and carefully blended into the finest dark chocolate. The Chardonnay marc contains highly beneficial grape nutrients, flavanols, and has a natural sweetness that flavors the luscious dark chocolate. Mouthwatering, flavorful, delectable dark chocolate goodness with Chardonnay sweetness and beneficial nutrients. And it's alcohol free too. It's Vine to Bar Chocolate. Order some today at vinetobar.com. That's VINETOBAR.com. Cold shipped to your door, it's Vine to Bar. Vine to Bar Chocolate. Visit us at vinetobar.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name is Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.